For those who just came right now, our friends here, our topic this time, would somebody give, please bring the outline. Yes. We have made a little outline here. The topic in this conference, yes. The true worshippers in the New Testament age. And the basic verse that we used is John chapter 4, 23 and 24. Right? Maybe we can read it again. It's good to read it 100 times until the word is written not only in the Bible, but in our heart. It's no good if it's just black and white in the Bible and not written in our heart. The Old Testament age, the word is written in table of stones. But in the New Testament ministry, it is written in your heart, not with ink, Paul says, but with the Spirit of the living God. So if it's not in you, it's no good. If it's just written in this Bible, you pay for it. I don't know how many dollars. But if it's not written in your heart, it's no good. Right? To confirm this, let me just read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, sorry. Let's jump firstly to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What Paul says. Second Corinthians chapter 3. You are, verse 2, our epistle. So what is Paul's epistle? Lindsay, what is Paul's epistle? Which is your favorite epistle? The one written here in this book or the one written in your heart? So here, you are our epistle written in our heart, known and read by all men. Praise the Lord. What epistle are you reading, Iman? Just here? We should be the living epistle. When people see you, they should see the reality of what is written here. Otherwise, you're just talking about what is written here, but people don't see it in you. That's not good. So, which is a more important epistle? What is written in you or what is written in the Bible? Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. Oh, my goodness. So how many epistles are there? You should say the epistles of Paul written in Iman. Oh, let's turn to Iman chapter 1. What has the Lord written by the Holy Spirit in you? This is a special epistle written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone. Today, of course, it'll be too heavy for you to carry. It's a book, not on thin paper. Indian paper, yeah? Not written with ink, nor on paper, but on the tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. What is written in your heart? Can people read it? Yeah. Right. Or you're just reading this book, but nobody can read it in your heart. We have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, because only God could do this. Don't think we are so able. We are not able. No, no one is capable. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, capital S, of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. right? Because the letter kills. If it just doesn't give life, you think the pages here give life? If this word is not transferred into your heart and not written by the Holy Spirit into your heart, it's not life. Is your word here, the Bible, jumping up and down? Do you have a jumping bean? You know why beans jump? Have you ever seen a jumping bean? No, how about you?
No.
No? You never played with jumping beans before? Oh my goodness. When I was a little boy, we loved the jumping beans. Especially if it gets hot, then the beans jump. You know why? Because there's a worm inside. Something living is within that bean. That's why it's called jumping beans, right? You know the jumping beans, have you? Have you ever seen one? Oh yeah, you see? Why, my goodness, my granddaughter saw one. You never saw one? Oh, yeah. But if there's no worm, no life inside that bean is not going to jump by itself. You're not going to see a bean jumping. But if a worm is inside that bean, it's going to jump. Because it's life in it. Now, if this word in the New Covenant, it's no longer written just in table of stones, but the Lord says, and I will write my word into your heart. My laws will be written in your heart, in your mind. If it is within you, then it's alive now. So if the Spirit is not writing it, and you just have this wonderful book, but you don't live that book, it's not written in you, it's no good. Now, the ministry of the New Covenant now is a different ministry now. So, the Holy Spirit, God, must write it into your heart. So, what kind of an ink it is? It is a heavenly ink. Praise the Lord. So, if it is written in your heart, and my, it becomes a part of your life, when people see you, they are reading you. Don't think people just see you and not reading you. When you go home and the Lord has written so much in you, you go home, your parents will say, what kind of iman? That was not the iman I knew before. Did your mother say that? I hope she will say that. I hope when your cousin comes, he will say, wow, iman, you're different. I can see that. I can read it. How about that? Can people read that? Sharon? I hope John Yao will be reading you every day. Wow, what a wonderful epistle. You think I'm kidding? It's not a joke. The church must be a living epistle. If it's just a letter, it can just tell you and tell you and teach you and teach you. At the end, it kills you because you're not living it. And you'll be condemned. I know so much, but I live so little. It becomes a condemnation to you. It kills you. That's why it says the letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. So, what do you want? The letter? Just the knowledge, the doctrine, the teachings? Nothing wrong with the teachings. But even if it's the right teaching, it doesn't give you life. It must be written in your heart by the Spirit of the living God. Then it gives you life. That is why the true worship must be the worship in spirit, because God is spirit. So, who also made us sufficient, ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirits, for the letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. How wonderful. I want to be full of life. Don't you? Now, who can give life? The pastor? You think the pastor can give you life? No, it is the Holy Spirit indwelling in you today that can give you life. So you have here the ministry of death, verse 7, and the ministry of the Spirit in verse 8. Now, do you prefer just to have the knowledge, the teachings and doctrines and theology, or do you prefer the ministry of the Spirit? One gives death, resulting in death, because, oh my, you require so much, I can't do it. So at the end, you give up. Or you become a hypocrite, because you know so much, but you don't do it. Or do you prefer to have the ministry of life, that this word is now imprinted into you, and you live it out, you become the living epistle? How about that? You think if you carry this Bible, you're so holy now. I got the Holy Bible. Yes, maybe the Bible is holy, but not you. The Holy Bible. So what if your Bible is so holy? Of course the Bible must be holy. It can't do anything else. But you, you're a living person. Now, if the Holy Spirit does not transfer all the life into your being, you can know so much. Don't you think the scribes, the Pharisees, and all the notice scriptures, the chief priests, the elders? So, today, in the living church, we are not for anything else here. We are not for activities. No, we don't need the activities. But if you have that living Christ in you, you will do whatever He says. There's no need of organizing activities. You must do it. You must do it. How many people did you save now? Did you preach the gospel today? Did you do this? Oh, why don't you go to Africa? Why don't you do this? What are you doing serving God? What did you do? And what is your ministry? Oh, cook. I'm a cook. Cook! What are you cooking? Christ? Yes, you have to cook Christ. All the priests, they are cooking all the offerings, preparing the offering. But you're cooking a spiritual Christ to offer up as a sacrifice to God. So today, the ministry is not, oh, I have a ministry. What is your ministry? Oh, what is your ministry? Oh, what? I have children ministry. Oh, children ministry. What do? Play with the children? That's your ministry? The ministry of the new covenant, not of the letter, not of activities, not playing, not entertainment, not choir, not singing. I have a singing ministry. Goodness, everybody can sing. So we all have singing ministry. Do you sing? Yeah, so you have a singing ministry. But what's so special about singing? I think the angels could sing probably better. I hope I'll tell the Lord one day, I'd like to hear your choir. No, it is the Spirit. If you're not a person living according to the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, living all the time by the Spirit, then what do you have? Right. So here, it is the Spirit that gives life. We've been dwelling in the Gospel of John, right? Now let's read chapter 4 again. Verse 23 and 24, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers, that means there are worshippers that are not true, not real. Seemingly they're worshipping, but they're not true worshippers. Oh, the Jews were worshipping God. If you ask them, what are you doing there in the temple? They were worshipping God. But the Lord Jesus will say, that's not a true worship yet. But now the hour is coming because the New Testament starts. The New Covenant starts. The Old Covenant is that of the letter. Outward. The temple, the rituals. All the cows and goats. And the sheep and all that, they're bringing it as an offering. But now, in the New Testament age, it is the living Christ now. It is the Spirit. The nature is not outward anymore. The nature is inward, the spirit of life. The hour is coming, and now is. Because the Lord can't wait anymore. He says the hour is coming very near because He's already there, and the new covenant is about to begin. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, praise the Lord. Remember, this is the small letter spirit, not the big letter spirit. Now it is your spirit, because now you will be born again in spirit, like we just heard this morning. I cannot repeat everything, otherwise we won't go ahead. In spirit now, right? And in truth, truth here means reality now. We need the reality. Before, when they come to worship, they cannot come empty-handed. They should bring a cow as an offering, or a goat, or a lamb. And if you don't have a lamb, the Lord says you can bring a pigeon. Okay? As an offering to offer up to God. But those are just a type pointing to the reality which is Christ. And in the Old Testament, those are outward. But now, it is in spirit now, because the reality is now inside of you. The Holy Spirit now comes in to bring you the real cow. Hebrews tells us, all those animals offering, those are not real. I don't want that, because this, it's just a type pointing to Christ. Now when Christ comes, He is the real offering. Once for all. He is our sin offering. He is our meal offering. He is our burnt offering. He is our peace offering. He is our heave offering. He is our wave offering. He is all kinds of offering, but He is the real offering. No, that real offering is not a spirit, an in spirit, because if you're not in spirit, you cannot touch the real reality. In spirit, the true worship now is to worship the Father firstly in spirit, no longer in Jerusalem. The old way is to go to Jerusalem, a physical geographical place, a temple made of stones, cold. But now, praise the Lord, it's a spiritual house now. Right. In spirit and truth, again, I have to change your concept. What is truth for you? What is truth? Did not Pontius Pilate says, what is truth? It's a big thing, truth. Who is speaking the truth? Oh, for you, truth is just whatever is biblical is truth. Real, not false teaching, right? False, true and false. You have learned that in school, true or false. Right? Heaven is black. False. The grass is green. True. This is true and false for you. Truth is something truthful. Sincerity. Not lying. But in the Bible, it's not just that. Truth. The Greek word aletheia means the reality. I can tell you about this thing, but you don't see it. I cannot show you. Truth is, I want to touch it, I want to see it. Oh, okay. This is a recording. You believe it? Why do you believe it? You can see it. Something real. This is the truth. This is the truth of a recording. If I just tell you, well, there's such thing as a recording. Really, I'm not lying to you. Do you believe me, brother? Yeah, but I'm telling you the truth. There is really such thing as a recorder. Do you believe? I'm not a liar. You think I'm a liar? You think I'll lie to you? There is a recorder. And it records your voice. And you can really replay it. You believe that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it. Is it good enough? Now you believe the truth, right? Oh, is that good enough? Are you happy now? You know the truth. So, show me. How does it look like now? What color is it? Oh, it's black. It's black. It's black. Okay, it's black. You believe that? Yeah? He believes everything. Well, where is it? That means he doesn't have the real thing. Truth in the Bible, the Lord says, I am the truth. Whatever the Bible is speaking about, in John chapter 6, you ate manna in the wilderness. I am the true bread that comes down from heaven. They drank from the water flowing out of the rock. The Lord says, I am the living water. You must come to me. I am that rock. And you can drink of the living water. It's not just believing. You have to drink. You believe you're drinking? Have you drank water this morning? I believe I drank. No, I don't know. You believe you drink. I'm asking, did you drink? Well, I believe. No, did you drink? You can say, I believe I drank coffee. Well, did you drink coffee? No, I believe. No, did you drink? Don't think if you believe you drank coffee, then you drank coffee. Did you eat pancakes this morning? I believe I ate pancake. But did you eat? Well, I believe. Did you eat pancake? No, just believe that you did. Just believe you eat pancake. Did you eat pancake? Say, yes, I believe. Oh, come on, be a believer. Did you eat pancake this morning? You're not a believer, come on. Just believe. Do you believe in pancake?
I believe
there is a pancake. No reality. Truth. The first meaning of the truth, the word aletheia, means reality. The Lord is not going to give you an empty word. No. He is a reality. So, in the Old Testament place, when you worship, firstly, you need to go to the right place. Jerusalem. You cannot worship anywhere else. These are the condition of worship. Number two, you cannot go empty-handed. You should bring all the offerings. These are the two important things. And then everybody enjoyed the offerings. If you say the offering is money, how come not everybody is enjoying the money? You give $100, you give $10,000, you give $40,000. When we all come together, we all enjoy the money here. How about that? We all enjoy the money, huh? When they all bring the wonderful offerings, my God has one portion, and the rest are for God's people to enjoy. And they are having a feast there. Can you feast on money? You think God needs your money? How much dollars will God be satisfied? God wants the reality of Christ that is grown through you, prepared by you as an offering you bring to God. You should not come empty-handed. So these are the two things. That's why in spirit now replace Jerusalem. In truth, that means in reality replaces all the offerings. That consists of a real worshiper. So if you come to God's house, you bring nothing, just bring your ears. Friends, Romans and countrymen, lend me your ears. God doesn't want just, the pastor needs your ears, but God wants Christ in your spirit. Sorry. Are you a true worshiper? Or you come empty-handed, nothing, you don't bring anything for God. Worship is not just bowing down, closing your eyes and think about Him. No, God doesn't want you to think about Him. You can think about Him every day, I hope so. But when we come together to worship, you have to bring the Christ that you experience as a burnt offering. You experience Christ as a meal offering, as a peace offering, as a sin offering, trespass offering. This is what can satisfy God. It's not bowing down to the ground, worship like this. But you think He's happy? No. When I invite you to my home and nothing to eat, not even a glass of water. Just show you a book and a menu. Yeah. Yeah. Will you be happy? Next time I invite you again, will you come? You won't be coming next time. I don't think you'll be coming, right? Oh, then I'll invite you every time. Then I'll invite you. This is the way. That is why God required all of his people to come 3 times a year to Jerusalem to keep the feast. The feast of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread, the first fruits, and then the feast of weeks, the Pentecost, and then the last feast, the feast of the tabernacle. And they all come together to worship God. For them, the worship is a feast. Enjoying all the rich offerings of the good land brought together, the top 10. The firstborn of the herd belongs to God. God says, belongs to me, I want it. The first fruits of your produce belongs to me, God says. And you have to bring that. And those are the types of Christ as the offerings. And Christ is the reality of all those offerings that you have to prepare and experience and bring. Can you imagine when we come together Sunday morning? And you bring something of Christ. You bring something of Christ. You, all of us, you bring, wow, you bring a Christ as big as an ox. My, you must be a rich experiencer of Christ. And I'm sorry, I can only bring a pigeon. But you know, as a burnt offering, even a pigeon is acceptable to God. No experience of Christ is too small for him, as long as it is Christ. Your dollar is not Christ. Although it says, in God we trust. I think it's more in dollar we trust. But what God wants is your Christ. Can you imagine if all of us are these true worshippers? All the pastors will be out of jobs. What do you need a pastor for? 2 hours will not be enough for you to share your rich experience of Christ. Everybody shares a rich experience of Christ. Oh my goodness, 2 hours is gone. And you will not be sleeping because, wow, he experienced that. My, she experienced that. Wow, he experienced that. Nobody, wow, wow, how rich Christ is. Otherwise, if you just listen to me speaking, everybody... trying to keep awake. But if everybody is bringing a portion of wonderful experience, the reality, the real Christ, which is edible, gives life, encouraging, you think you'll fall asleep? If we are going to have lunch here, everybody getting food on the lunch table and everybody is just sleeping. I don't think if we are enjoying a feast, everybody will be sleeping, right? Especially a wedding feast, although it goes up to about 12 o'clock, everybody's still wide awake. What is the real worship? And it says the Father seeketh such to worship him. Father God, our God and Father, Abba Father, he is seeking such. How long has he been seeking, John? When the Lord says the hour is coming and now is, so when did it start that the Father is seeking? When? Oh, yes, that's right. Even before the foundation of the world. But really, seriously, When the Lord Jesus came, the Father was so happy. Now is the time. Now the Father is looking forward to the real worship. And yet today, what kind of a worship are we giving Him? You think listening to a pastor, preacher, me speaking, that is worshiping the Father? You think the Father needs my message? Tell me, does He need to listen to a message? He loves to hear a message. I don't think so. I do not think so. The Father is seeking true worshipers. So you have to be a person experiencing Christ day by day. And sorry to use this word, you have to have Christ industry. You produce Christ. Don't think, oh, John, that's heresy. No. Christ within you must multiply, must increase. Did not Paul says you hold on to the head and the whole body grows with the growth of God? What are we growing here? Paul says you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you are God's farm. Oh my goodness, the church is doing farming. Didn't he say? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, I believe, verse 8 or verse 9, ye are God's farm. Are we God's farm? What are we doing in the church? Oh, farming. What? You're farming? You're a farming church? What do you grow there? What do we grow here? What are we growing here? Iman, what are we growing? Are you a farmer? What is your ministry? Oh, I'm a farmer. Have you ever said that? And what kind of a farmer? Oh, I'm a spiritual farmer. Oh, a farmer. What do you do there? What do you grow there? Potatoes? Tomatoes? And what? You're a Christ farm. You mean to say you're farming Christ? What do you do with a farm that grows nothing? You build a football stadium, basketball court, soccer court. You build cathedrals, entertainment center. They're all dead, lifeless. It's not a spiritual house, nothing spiritual. But we are God's farm. But are we? Do you produce Christ? You know, Matthew chapter 13, the first parable the Lord has given us is that, what? A preacher went to preach. Did it say that in Matthew chapter 13? What does Matthew chapter 13 say? Oh, come on. You don't have to turn to Matthew chapter 13. It should be written in your heart, to my goodness. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, a what?
A
sower went to sow. And sowing in where? In your heart. Your heart is the ground, and your heart better be a good ground. And once the seed is sown, what do you expect if you sow something? Grow. What if it doesn't grow? It's not worth it. Then it has to bear what? How many fold? Or 60?
Yeah.
And if you cannot even bear 60, 30. He didn't say 3. No, a fruit that only brings 3. A tree that only brings 3 fruit. So how much Christ do you produce in you? You think... I'm joking now. Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the increase, the growth. Oh, what is increasing there? You tell me, how much Christ have you grown in you? Or after being a Christian for 30 years, you're still that old same you. And you come to worship with what? Just as you are, not acceptable. Like I said, just as you are is good for the initial salvation, because you can't do anything. You need salvation. It's by grace. It's a gift of God given to you. He died for you, just as you are. But after you are saved, something planted into you, year after year, just as I am. Just as dry and no fruit, nothing, as 10 years ago you come to the Lord, I come here again just as I am to worship you. So just as you are, you're going to worship me with what? Oh, with me. I don't want you. I want Christ. I mentioned that already in the parable in Matthew chapter 25 concerning the talents. One is given 5, the other 3, the other 1. And that guy with the 1 talent buried in the ground, and when the Lord comes out, he dig it out again. Here is your 1 talent. The Lord says, what? You evil and lazy servant. You return to me what I gave you. At least you should have some interest. The Lord is not going to just come back and you return to him what he gave you 2,000 years ago. You remember there's an inflation, right? 2,000 years ago, when we were young, gasoline is just 25 cents a gallon. Today, 25 cents, you can't buy anything. So you just put it there and dig out your 25 cents a long time ago and give it back and say, here is your 25 cents. What is that? You cannot worship God in that way. No. What can constitute a true worship is when he gives you 5 and you says, Lord, here is another 5. I gain another 5. That is the worship that God wants. You multiplied what God has given you. And the other one who have received 3, wow, he gives back another 3. Well, that's 100%. It's a growth. It's a good investment. But when God invested the wonderful Christ in you, and after you've been a Christian for so many years, you return what he invested in you without even gaining some interest from the bank. You don't invest it. You don't do anything with it. You don't learn to live Christ, to grow Christ. You don't do anything with it, and you bring it back to the Father as it was. You are not a true worshiper. Sorry. Don't be angry. I'm not criticizing anybody, right? But I want to satisfy the Father. I want to be a real worshiper. And I hope that in the church life, we will all learn to be like that. Can you imagine every Lord's Day we will come together, everyone bring a little bit of the produce that has been grown in you of this wonderful Christ. And do you need a sermon? You come to my house, I give you a sermon on the food. I give you a sermon about fried chicken. I give you a sermon about a rack of lamb. I give you a sermon about spinach. Huh? When you come to my home, I talk about, what do you like to eat? What? Oh, cheesecake. Let me give you a sermon about the cheesecake. You come to my home and I give you a sermon on a cheesecake, black forest cake. Did you bring a real black forest cake or you just brought a sermon?
Real thing.
If you bring a sermon about the black forest cake, people will tell you, go back to Germany. Go home. We don't need your sermon. Why don't we tell that to the pastors? Go home. But if you go home, why? You don't like the sermon, so you hire a better one. How about that? But if none of us could bring anything, then you would need somebody to entertain you. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Huh?
Look at one another.
Just look at one another. will you be satisfied just looking at me? Oh, come on. Nobody will be satisfied just looking at me and I look at you. That won't be a feast. I don't think that will be a very happy feast. Pretty soon it will be the fist. We'll be fighting each other. Oh, Lord Jesus. The Father is seeking for the true worshipers. Now, in the true worship, in Leviticus you have all kinds of offerings. Time is up again. Right? You have the burnt offering. You have the meal offering. The five major offerings, you have the peace offering. That's why Christians, they have no peace, they're fighting with each other. The real peace is Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, Christ is our peace. He has broken down the middle wall of partition, but we have built up many more walls among ourselves. You have the Baptist wall, you have the Pentecostal wall, you have the Presbyterian wall, you have the Lutheran wall, all kinds of walls. No peace. We fight, compete, quarrel with each other. We are like Babylon, right? Speak different languages, and I don't understand with you. I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. You want to have a position, but I already occupied that position. Sorry. So what? What are we going to do? So you build another one yourself. That's what we are. No peace. Where is the peace offering? Where is the real peace offering? And then you have the sin and trespass offering. Sin offering to deal with the root of the sin. Paul says, it's no longer I who did it, but sin that dwells in me. It's not even the deeds, but it is the personified sin, the nature. The trespass offerings are the deeds. You cut the grass, but you don't kill the root. It's going to grow again. So, do you enjoy Christ just for forgiveness and then you do it again? Forgive me. Oh, yes, Lord, forgive me. And then you do it again. Every week, forgive me, Lord, I do it again. You just cut the grass. You know, we have a gardener that cuts the grass. And he has to come week after week after week. Oh, goodness. Because the root is still there. Why you keep on sinning? You just enjoy the forgiveness? No problem with forgiveness. How come you do it again? Do you enjoy Christ as a sin offering and not only the trespass offering? So many different aspects of this wonderful Christ for you to enjoy. And all of these offerings God wants and demands from you to bring your experience of these offerings and offer it to Him. Partially went to the Father for His enjoyment, that's His glory. And the rest is for all the saints to feast and rejoice together. Can you imagine? We heard so many wonderful testimonies of the Lord. Christ as the burnt offering, as the one who is so absolute for God's purpose. You know, when the Lord came to this earth, He did not firstly come to die for you. He came first and foremost to satisfy the Father's will. Because that is what we and Adam should have done before the fall. That's why today, you know, I'm a Christian, but you don't care about God. You don't care what is in God's heart. You don't care the Father wants the real worship. It's all for you, me, and myself. I, me, and myself. Everything's for me, I, me, and myself. Why do you go to church? For me and myself. Just so that I can have peace. We don't know Christ as a burnt offering, as one who is so much well-pleasing to the Father. the one who does the will of the Father. In Hebrews, behold, I come. A body you have given me to do your will, O Father. What a wonderful Christ. A man who lived on this earth who didn't care for himself. Do you care for yourself? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You satisfy yourself, you satisfy the Father. Even the Lord says the Son can do nothing by himself but what he sees the Father does. Oh, you do so many things by yourself, by your concept. You do what you like, but not the Son, no. He said the work that I do, it's not me, it's the Father who did it in me. The words that I have spoken to you, it's the Father's word. And then he said, I and the Father are one. And if you see me, you see the Father. A person who was obedient to the death. Who was so obedient to the Father, just like Isaac. You know, I was always surprised. If you were Isaac, and Abraham is your father, and he's binding you up, and they're going to bring you up to the mountain to... You know, hey, what are you binding me up for? Abraham says, well, God wants me to offer you up and burn you on the altar. Are you willing? Huh? What kind of a game is this? What kind of a dad are you? Are you my dad? Do you... Are you willing? Are you willing? The Father was willing, but the problem is the Son willing? You want to offer me up? Oh my goodness. Okay, you're willing, but I'm not. About that. What a wonderful burnt offering. To experience Christ as the burnt offering is to experience Him as the one who is absolute obedient to the Father, whatever He wants. But to me, I said, no, I don't understand it that way. You have your own understanding. I have my own understanding. How many ways can you interpret God's word? You want to know what it means? You go to the Father. Not by your mind and not by that theologian, this theologian. What does he say? What does Dadi say? What does Watchman Nee says? What does he say? I don't care what anybody says. I would ask the one who spoke it and says, what do you mean? You think our Father has a confusion of language? He says a word so that we will all interpret it differently and fight with each other. Isn't God is like that? Do you speak like that? Did not the Lord says, let your answer be yea, yea, nay, nay, and what is in between black and gray is of the devil. And now God speaks something and everybody understands differently. Do you think God is like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. Our God is not a God of confusion. So Christ, when He came to this earth, His whole life was 100% for God. If not, you will have no salvation today. What about us? Are you enjoying such a wonderful Christ? If the Father says, stop, don't do it. What do you say? Many times you want to react. You're angry. Somebody said something offending you. You want to say something back. The Lord says, stop. Are you going to obey? Or if the fire doesn't come out of you, you become a volcano and then at the end you explode it. Are you obedient? Can you say amen to the Lord? You cannot say amen if you don't know Christ as such a burnt offering. Why can't you say amen to Him? Stop watching. Your eyes are very disobedient. You want to, but your eyes don't know. Your eyes are glued to that box. No wonder your eyes look like a TV. You got TV eyes. Why don't you look at Christ? What is so nice about Hollywood? It's not Hollywood. Why do we not just listen to the Lord in a simple, even in a simple thing, you cannot say amen to the Lord. You don't know Christ as such an obedient one. You don't experience Christ as your burnt offering. You do things, a lot of things by yourself. You satisfy yourself. You do what you like. This is not experiencing Christ to be your burnt offering. But if you are experiencing Christ as the burnt offering, and wow, you're so one with Him, you can bring that experience, and that experience will be well-pleasing to the Father, and it will be an encouragement, edification for all the saints. That's the worship. What about experiencing Christ as the meal offering? His fine humanity. Is your humanity so good? How come you don't change? Because you don't eat that food. Christ is a fine flour mingled with oil. Going through all kinds of sufferings, are you willing to suffer? Huh? Amen. It's very easy to say. But when suffering comes, you say no. Just like Peter says, I will go with you to the cross. Everybody will run away, but I will go with you, the Lord says. Before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. Peter didn't believe that. But did he go to the cross with the Lord? He denied the Lord. First time he just said it nicely, no, I don't know him. And second time he said, I already told you I don't know him. And third time, I swear to you I never knew this man. Oh my goodness. Is that the fine humanity? Can you suffer? The Lord's humanity is willing to take any suffering. Are you willing to? If your wife just says something to you, you already flare up. Right? And just a little thing, we start a fight. Sometimes husband and wife just begin to fight for nothing. Just because I said the wrong thing. I don't even mean it. And every time I say something, you defend yourself. Every time you say something, I defend myself. Oh, no, it's nothing. Again, you'll be fighting for nothing. Did you know the Lord says every idle word that comes out of your mouth, you'll be judged. How many idle words have you ever spoken? Where is the fine humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ? Offered up with frankincense, salted, no honey, no leaven. How much leaven do we have in us? The feast of the unleavened bread must be kept by getting rid of all the leaven that is in you. Are you doing that? Or are you eating, you prefer to eat leavened bread? Christ is unleavened. It's harder for you to chew. Not like the leavened bread. You know, the American bread is like, not like the German bread. You have a loaf of American bread, you press it, it is one slice of German bread. Right? So what kind of bread do you want? You want something that's easy to chew. You want everything easy, easy, easy. Why? Did the Lord have an easy life on this earth? And then no honey. You cannot offer it with honey. No leaven, no honey. How about that? We are what? What are we? We like sweet and sour. Our humanity is so corrupted. Are you eating and enjoying Christ's perfect, wonderful humanity? Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Are you living Christ? Have you ever told the Lord, my humanity is no good. I want your humanity. Change me. Save me to the uttermost. Transform me into your likeness and your image. I want to be conformed to you. Get rid of the old. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Is that your practice? If not, you're still living your old self. And if you live your old self, you come to worship in your old self. Do you think the Lord will accept that? God is going to eat all of us as a leavened. It's no longer bread, it's just pure leaven. Oh my goodness, you like to eat pure leaven? Yeast. This is to enjoy Christ as our wonderful meal offering. Not doctrine. No, it's not a doctrine. It is Christ. And you have to know Him as such, and enjoy Him as such, and learn to prepare Him as such. That is why we need to experience Christ in all the situations. Every situation is for you to experience Christ as your fine humanity, right? Otherwise you'll just be living your old self. Never change. How are you going to worship the Father? Just as I am. I always say that song, Just As I Am, you can only sing it before you are saved. Because what can you do? You just as I am without one plea. Just as I am without one plea. You come and be saved. Okay, you can sing that the first time when you're saved. Okay? But after that, no more. After that, you have to learn to deny yourself. Don't say, I come as myself again. The Father will say, no. You're saved. You're born again. Now you have to come in spirit. You have another way to live now. Why don't you do it? That song is good for the gospel once. After you're saved, put that song away. You should sing, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me, pum, pum, pum. Now that you should sing.
Amen.
Don't sing again. Just as I am. No, 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 no. You should say, it's no longer I now. Learn. Learn. Learn to be now a real worshiper. Christ as our peace offering. Now, if you're not enjoying Christ as the burnt and as the meal offering, you cannot enjoy the peace. Because the peace offering is based upon the burnt offering and the meal offering. And then you have to enjoy the sin offering and trespass offering, because the problem we fight each other is because of the flesh, because of the sin. That's why we fight. So the peace offering is in the middle. And so the peace offering has the basis, firstly, burnt and meal offering, and then the sin and trespass offering. Then you can have a wonderful peace offering. And that peace offering includes the wave offering, signifying the power of His resurrection. Because otherwise we're full of death. And the heave offering, the ascended Christ. There's so much to enjoy and experience. Tonight, we continue. Food is here for you. We don't have the doctrine of food, but the reality of food. Learn this, because this is a way to worship. So So if you don't learn, we have no way to worship. You don't want to experience Christ, then how are we going to worship the Father? In this farm, we are not doing farming, so what are you going to do with a dry field? You play football. Soccer. How about that? Have fun. Have fun. Entertainment. You can substitute a lot of things, but you're not growing Christ. Praise the Lord. I hope it is clear to everybody. So you have to change. Now we know. The Father has been waiting for so long to have such kind of worship and never got it. Now, are we going to give Him such worship? It's up to you. It's up to you. Right? May the Lord help us to be those who live Christ, who gain Christ, who produce Christ, prepare Christ, and bring them to the meeting to offer up to the Father. And for the edification and building up of all the saints, that will really cause all the saints to grow. You know, let me tell you this. Why did the Father demand this? Not only for Him, because if He does not demand this of you, you are lazy to work and labor on Christ. You won't do it. So if you want to come to Him, you have to bring something. You cannot come empty-handed. So by this, the Father is training you, pushing you, telling you, no, you have to come with Christ. Otherwise, you cannot come. Praise the Lord. This is God's wisdom. It's what He is seeking for. It is what can satisfy Him. And it is also what will really help you and all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grace be with you all.